There is a lot of sad news, of course, around us, as we are well aware, but I do have some good news this morning. It is great to have baby Braxton, Nicole here with us today. We have prayed for this young man and this sweet family, and we are so thankful to be able to see him. So proud of him. And Nicole, we're going to keep praying for you guys. And I certainly want you to know that we love you guys and appreciate you. In the time that we have today, I want to talk about the cross. I want to talk about elevating it. In a world where everything goes but Christianity, it appears, according to some things that we read, we've got to make sure that Christianity is number one. We've got to make sure the cross stands out. And so what I want you to do right now is turn to, Bo, you did a great job reading Colossians 1, and it's on the screen, but that's my fault. I messed up. It was not supposed to be Colossians 1. John, that's all I always look, you know, it's supposed to be Colossians 2. However, I had it on the PowerPoint as 1 as well. But anyhow, Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. Let's talk about the cross. In Him, you were also circumcised, of course, that's Jesus Christ, with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Today, if I have been buried with Christ in baptism, if I have put Him first in my life, if I am walking in the light as He is in the light, then the things that are against me, I understand He's talking about specifically the old law there. But today I want to take it even further. The things that are against me, sin, struggle, the devil, all those things, you know what He did? He nailed it to the cross. But there's another passage I want us to look at today, and that is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. A little longer reading here. Read with me. For the word of the cross, that's what we're talking about today, the cross. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, get this, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And being of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that it is, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. All that to say, we need to elevate the cross. We need to elevate the cross because all the things that are against us were nailed to it. And then we need to elevate the cross because it is not foolishness to those of us who are being saved. To those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And we need to boast in it.
That's what he means when he said, boast in the cross, elevate the cross. Brag on Jesus. Boast on Jesus. Tell the world, show the world, that your life, your sins, your past has been nailed to the cross. Today, as we gather and as we challenge ourselves, I want to give you three quick points on what may be struggling, you struggling with today, me struggling with today. I want to remind us that these things are nailed to the cross. And that's why we need to elevate the cross. Number one, our failure is nailed to the cross. In Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 6, it's Mark's account of the crucifixion. Mark there reminds us, now at the feast he was accustomed, that's Pilate, he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. This is a bad man. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just what he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd so that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said to them again, "What then do you want me to do with him you call the King of the Jews?" So they cried out again, "Crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas and delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. Barabbas, that's who they wanted. A man who was a failure. A failure because he was a sinner. A failure because he chose to live a life of unrighteousness. A failure because he was a murderer. A failure because he was a thief. They wanted the failure to walk free. And they wanted the Savior to die on the cross. And that's exactly what happened. Barabbas, his life failing in the sight of God, walked free. Because Barabbas walked free, our failed lives can also walk free. Barabbas' walking free means that gossipers can walk free. It means that liars can walk free. It means those that hate can walk free. Those that lust can walk free. Those that are full of envy can walk free today. We as sinners can walk free because Christ was numbered with the transgressors. We can walk free today because God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Perfect Christ died with sinners. Perfect Christ was put on our level. Perfect Christ dying with sinners so that sinners, failures, could be made free. I'm sorry that Christ had to be numbered with the transgressors. But this failure says thanks be to God that He was. Because today, my failure was nailed to the cross. Today, your failed life, your life that set out to please God, that failed God, it can be nailed to the cross. We elevate the cross. We brag on the cross because it is not foolishness to us. To us, it is the power of God. And so therefore today, leave your failures at the cross. Secondly, this morning, we elevate the cross because fatigue was nailed to the cross. Again, in Mark chapter 15, picking up after we just read verse 15, now in verse 16, the soldiers led him, Jesus, away into the hall called Praetorium. And there they gathered together the whole garrison, and they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and began to salute him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." With him, they also mocked him. They took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon the Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. Christ goes into this hall, Praetorium. They gather around this whole crowd, and they make fun of him. By the way, he's already been scourged. He's lost a lot of blood. They hit him on the head with a reed. They spit on him. They bow the knee. They worship him. They rip it off, the clothes off of him. They reopen all those wounds. He's tired. He's lost sleep. He has lost blood. He is carrying this cross. They're goading him along the way and telling him, get up, treating him like an animal. And eventually, he cannot get up anymore because he is utterly fatigued. Then they compel a certain man, Simon of Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming by, to bear his cross. They weren't being nice to him. He literally couldn't go anymore. He was fatigued. That fatigue was nailed to the cross. Today, if I'm not careful, you and I can be fatigued. We can be tired. We can grow weary. We can be tired of bad news. We can be tired of bad reports. We can be tired of bad sicknesses. We can be tired of bad decisions. We can be tired of so many things. But Christ still went to the cross. He did it so that our fatigue could be nailed to the cross. Sin weighs us down. Perhaps it was the burden of our sins that was weighing that cross down. But he couldn't carry it at that moment anymore. You see, the burden of sin is very heavy. Jesus said, even though we are with him, we are not free from this world. In this world, he said, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. John 16:33. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 30, Jesus Christ said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Today, maybe the world has you fatigued. Well, it's time today to elevate the cross. Leave it at the cross. Nail it to the cross. Brag on the cross. Our fatigue was nailed to the cross. Then finally this morning, us being finished was nailed to the cross. Without the cross, hear me out, we were finished. We were finished. We were not only going to die the first death, but we were going to die the second death. In John 19, verse 30, Christ speaks his last recorded words before he died on the cross. He simply said, "It is finished. What was he talking about? What was exactly finished? This is what Christ had finished. The life of suffering that he endured was now finished. Matthew 16:21. The example of a life that he had lived was now finished. 1 Peter 2:21. The prophecies that had been prophesied were now finished being fulfilled. Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 40:3, Isaiah 50:6, and the entire chapter of Isaiah 53. The law which he came to fulfill was now finished. Matthew 5:17, Colossians 2:14. The will of God which he came to obey was now finished. John 5:30, Hebrews 10:9. Human redemption for which he would have to shed his own blood was now finished. 1 Peter 1:18-19, Ephesians 1:7. The painful separation from the Father that he would have to endure because of us was now finished. John 14:12, John 16:10. It is finished. Three simple words Christ spoke from the cross. But those three words represented so much. In closing, I suggest one more meaning behind Christ's words. It is finished. Meant that He was finished. That He there being Satan. Satan was finished. It was prophesied in the book of Genesis that Satan the serpent would bruise Christ's heel. And he did that. He did it by the events of the cross. But it was also prophesied at the end of that prophecy that Christ would crush his head, which our Savior did when He resurrected from the grave. Without the cross, we were finished. But because Jesus said, "It is finished," we nailed our being finished to the cross. Today, we serve a risen Savior. Death did not keep him. And because death did not keep him, we do not have to stay in a grave dead either. Because of this, as the Hebrew writer said, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's elevate the cross. Let's nail it to the cross. Let's boast about the cross. For to those of us being saved, it is the power of salvation. Today, don't be a failure. Don't be fatigued. Don't be finished. Today, be a follower. Give your life, give your all to the cross of Christ, and do it right now together. We stand in